Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me for the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. Now, most of you, I trust and hope, although some of, in terms of this broadcast, it reaches in areas where maybe there's not a lot of churches, but we know from Scripture that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So my prayer is that you are in a good church home that preaches the whole counsel of God. All right. Now, suppose your pastor had a visiting evangelist there, and he was weak and fearful and trembling. How do you suppose he would be received? Well, if you're familiar with the Word of God, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, that was how the great Apostle Paul described himself. Let me just read that. I'll start with the first verse, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came now with the excellency of speech. And remember, in that era, the orators of Greek and Rome were highly respected. He didn't come with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Listen to what his intent was. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was not interested on the impression that he was going to make. He didn't care about his reputation. There was only one thing he cared about. At one point in Acts, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision that God had given him. And verse 3, this is what I was having fun with you. I was with you, Paul said, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why did he do that? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And in that preceding chapter, he speaks some very profound truths. You know, according to the world's ways, and unfortunately sometimes we are influenced by the ways of the world, that they have great accolades and affirmation and respect for those who excel in whatever area of their life that is their accomplishment, whether they're scientists or whether they're in academia or whether they're in sports. We revere, we uplift, we honor those that are the best. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. Those that have worked for the Olympics, those who have trained very hard to excel in their particular specialty, that is something worthwhile. But so you would think, you know, God would choose, you know, the really smart ones, the really bright ones, the really powerful ones. Well, he doesn't do that. And why? Well, I'm going to have to go back and read some verses of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. I'll start at verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You see, when he went to into Athens, he was impressed that they, and that's when he preached about an unknown God, because they did nothing but to share the greatest wisdom and revelation, all right, of the philosophers. it says in verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, in other words, Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And this is what I want you to hear. I did share this yesterday. Our calling, brother and sister, let me read his exact words. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But who did God choose? He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things of the world. The things which are despised hath God chosen, and yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, beloved, we see laid out in Scripture, one of the greatest saints of all times, the Apostle Paul, who sought not renown or reputation for himself, but what he desired above all was to see Christ lifted up. And I want to share another one of the statements that he made in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Just preceding that, he talks about his thorn in the flesh, and I think purposely the scriptures are not specific regardless of what it was. Some say it was a physical affliction. Others say it was the Judaizers who followed him around and just tormented him wherever he went. But verse 7 says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, because Paul was given tremendous revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. He's very clear, it's from Satan, to buffet me. God had a purpose in it, though, lest I should be exalted above measure. If you've been listening earlier this week, remember we talked about King Uzziah and what happened to him when he became strong in his own eyes and began to burn incense in the temple, which was only given to the priests to perform. He became a leper until the day of his death. Anyway, back to Paul, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. God is saying, beloved, in your weakness, God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul says, oh, that's how God feels about this? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, and this is so in opposition to the natural mind, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise God. Hallelujah. That Greek word to describe the infirmities of the Apostle Paul in this passage is asthenia. It means strengthlessness. It also can mean sickness, disease, infirmity. However, whenever Bible scholars or translators approach this in the original, they don't translate this word into sickness or disease. They use the word weakness or strengthlessness. And that doesn't necessarily mean sickness. But what Paul is really conveying more than anything else to the Corinthians is the fact that he will not glory in anything other than Jesus Christ. He was learned. He knew the scriptures. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And he had very reason to show the honors that he had received, but he refused to do that. He would glory in his weakness. He wanted to do that rather than glory in himself, for in doing so, he is discounted to all, and only Jesus is made to shine or be revealed. Praise God. I want to just stop for a moment in the message because I feel many of you've just been really struggling with your weaknesses, those areas that the enemy would torment you. And that's what Paul had, a thorn in the flesh. He was a messenger of Satan. And God showed him that his grace was sufficient. And so right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for that grace and strength that the Apostle Paul experienced so that we could glory in our weaknesses, knowing that in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. Lord, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I have seen the trials. I have seen the dark valley that you have walked through. But beloved, I hold you by your right hand, and I will not fail you, and I will not leave you, but I will bring you forth. Does not my word say, blessed is the man that goeth through the valley of Baca, through the valley of weeping? It is but for a short time, and I will bring you forth where you will experience my provision. You will experience my anointing. You will experience the uplifting of my presence in your life, and the sorrow and the sadness will flee away. I will turn your mourning into dancing, says the Lord. Hear my word and know that I am faithful who has promised. So look to see the hand of your God lift you up and cause you to stand in a firm place, and you will know that you've been brought out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and that you shall sing praise unto your God, for others shall see the work that God has done in your behalf, because I delight in you, says the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your love. You never leave us. You never abandon us. Thank you for your goodness, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive that word, that strengthening in our inner man, knowing, Lord, that you've allowed weakness in our lives, just as you did for the Apostle Paul, that we could not glory in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own abilities or talents or giftings, but that the honor and the glory should go to you and you alone. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, my time is gone and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me, and we'll continue and perhaps conclude this message on tomorrow's broadcast. If you are going through particular trials that you need the power of agreeing prayer, because there's power in agreement. Beloved, there's times when I simply have to have someone pray with me and for me because I've not been able to succeed on my own, because that's a spiritual principle. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577 Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,